Welcome to the November 22, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Be Glory and Dominion Forever and Ever. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you this morning. Welcome to College Park on this beautiful Sunday morning in November. Today is the start of Thanksgiving week. Can you believe it's here already? It's going to be a great week. It's good. A good way to start it off is with worship. And as is our custom, we want to take just a few minutes before we transition into worship to take care of some announcements and information about what's going on in the life of the church. First of all, you've already noticed that I am not Jeff, but I bring greetings from Jeff. Jeff is with the youth. They've been at the Association of Fall Retreat at Ridgecrest this weekend, and they've had an awesome week of weather, and apparently everything else is going pretty well. Also, I bring greetings from Jeff, and Mary is away in Illinois, actually leading music at a ministry conference all weekend. So she's probably worn out this morning, but bring greetings from her as well. I've even got Jeff's list here of what to do and what not to do in the announcements. Do not mention the wolf pack. Okay, won't do that. Make sure to mention pew pads. We'll do that. The pew pads should be located near you at the end of the aisle, if you will. Into the pew, if you will, just take a moment to fill that out so we'll have a record of your attendance and contact information. If you will, take a moment now or later to look over the opportunities for this week and the list of upcoming events that are listed in the bulletin. This week is Thanksgiving week, and we're going to have a Thanksgiving service here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. It'll be regular schedule as far as supper. So we'll have supper from 5:30 to 6:30, and then we'll have Thanksgiving service in here at 7. Note about worship today, we are having children's time, not children's celebration, but children's time down front with Raymond. That'll be, follow hymn number 27. So parents, just a early word on that. We've got an announcement from our GAs. GAs, come on up.
We're here to talk about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering through the Southern Baptist Convention International Mission Board and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship offering for global missions. Our church goal for the combined offerings is $25,000.
We ask that you pray for our missionaries who are working in the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ.
Our missionaries depend on the gifts given through these offerings. Did you know that by giving $112.14, you can support one missionary for a whole day?
We want to share the stories of two missionaries who are helping to spread God's word in those in need. The Lottie Moon offering helps Judy Miller, a missionary in West Africa, which has some of the harshest living conditions in the world. Judy's office is a four-wheel drive truck she uses to check on her team members. Her team is a part of the Oral People's Strategy Team, making the gospel accessible on tape to people who prefer to learn in through the spoken word. The Lottie Moon offering helps Judy Miller, a missionary in West Africa, which has some... The process of making and delivering these tapes takes 2 to 3 years and involves a number of people. Judy's four-wheel drive truck costs about $75 a month to maintain. She also spends $200 a month for radio time to spread the gospel to areas she can't reach by truck. Your gifts will help her to continue this missionary.
The offering for global missions allows Elizabeth to reach people in the Middle East. Individuals with disabilities in Windows are able to provide for themselves and their families through handmade products, including figures carved from olive wood, hand-sewn table runners, and handmade tote bags. For many people, these crafts are their only source of income. The employment not only supports their families, but allows them to be productive. The most important part of this project is developing relationships, which allows for opportunities to share Christ.
Say, we ask you to pray and give to these offerings. As a fundraiser which will benefit these organizations, we are opening our annual Mailings for Missions campaign. Our GA post office will open Sunday, November 29th, so next Sunday, and we invite you to send your Christmas cards for fellow College Park members through our post office instead of using the U.S. mail. Check out our church newsletter or listen for the announcements in your Sunday school department for specific details. Remember, every little bit helps, and our church goal overall is $25,000.
Thank you, girls. Good job. When we start talking about Christmas offerings, that means that Advent must be right around the corner, and it truly is. So both in these offerings and several other mission and ministry opportunities we're going to have during the upcoming weeks. There's also a schedule on the inset of your bulletin that has the entire Advent schedule and what's going to be going on Sundays and Wednesdays, the Sunday evening activities with the music services and everything. So take note of that. Also, was asked to make an announcement that from the Boy Scouts, that if you ordered some popcorn through the Boy Scouts fundraiser, that it will be available on Wednesday.
In the church year, to this Sunday, the Sunday before Advent, is Christ the King Sunday. And you may go, well, what's the significance of that? The significance of that is that I'm not preaching on money today. Can I get a hallelujah? All right, good. Fantastic. Well, what that also means is I need to give you a little information about where we are in our capital campaign. Last week, you remember, we had kind of a time where you could bring your commitment cards, and I want to give you an update on that. I'm not going to tell you the dollar figure because we're waiting till next Sunday to make that announcement. But we've received 124 commitments to date so far. And at least in my personal opinion, that's a little low. So I wanted to encourage you this week. I know some of you haven't gotten those in. You've let Gail know that it's coming, but you haven't gotten them in. I want to encourage you to try to get those in this week. You can either put them in the mail, or if you would like to, if you're out and about, you can come by the church office from 8:30 to 4:30 and fill one of those out, put it in the envelope, and just give it to Gail. That way, your total will be a part of the total that we announce next week. And we're going to celebrate that total together, and I encourage you and invite you to get those in this week so you can be included in that total. Hi, kids. Good to see you. You doing okay? All right. Good deal. Thank you.
Would like to say a special word of welcome to any guests that may be here with us today. Our ushers are going to come down front. We've got some information that we'd like to share with you, so please raise your hand just high enough for them to see, and we'd like to give you a packet of information about what else is going on at College Park and some things we're about. But certainly if you have any questions or would like to know more about us, contact, ask anybody here or ask us in the church office. We, whether you've been here one time, if today's your first time, or whether you've been here several times, we appreciate you choosing to spend your time with us this morning. We hope that you'll find this a warm and welcome place, but we most of all hope that this is a place that you can worship. And with that, let us transition into worship. That is why we are here. No matter what happened last week, right now we can't do anything about it. And whatever's in front of us this coming week, right now we cannot do anything about it. What we can do is to give our hearts and minds to God for this hour, to worship Him and to praise Him, because He is our God and we are His people. you pray with me? Dear God, it is good to be in your house today. Thank you for the sunshine outside, and thank you for the many things that we have to be thankful for, Lord. It is truly a day and a week of thanksgiving. Lord, as you know, we have a lot on our minds. We are a people that are sometimes burdened by thoughts and stress and things that we've got to do. And we're in a hurry to do them, Lord. Right now, in this hour of worship in your house, Lord, help us to clear our minds. Help us to have focus to give this hour to you, to experience worship, to give our hearts and minds and our energy toward worship and glorifying you, because that is why we are here, Lord. Lord, be glorified by what we do in this hour. Fill our energy and our praise to you, our songs, our prayers, our energy and our enthusiasm for you. Lord, I know that in this hour of worship, as we praise you, you're going to bless us as well. I know that you have a message, an individual message for each one of us. Help us not to miss it. Help us to be alive and alert and ready to worship, to give you a blessing and to experience a blessing at this same time. Lord, for bringing us into your house today safely, the opportunity to be here and to worship you, we thank you. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
invite all the children to come on down? Got something I want to give you. Woo! Yeah. You like my crown? It's cool, isn't it? Two more days of school, and then you get out for Thanksgiving. Are you thankful? Yes, it's a good day, isn't it? It's a good day. You don't like my crown? Now, I'm going to give all of you a crown because we're going to talk about kings today. Can you do that? You pass those around a little bit. You don't like kings? Would you like a crown? You can wear a crown even if you don't like kings, okay? Is that a deal? You like princesses? Okay, princesses wear crowns too, don't they? They sure do. You want a crown? Now you have, if I give these to you now, you have to make sure that you don't play with them while I'm talking, okay? Can you do that? Please? Yeah, okay, all right. And when you get back to your seat or to your class, then you can put these together. Some of you already got them figured out, don't you? All right. Okay, pass them around back there. Pass them around. Okay, I'd like to thank the good people at Burger King for providing this morning's artwork, yeah? Okay. Everybody got one? Okay, they're passing them up. Y'all pass the crowns on up here. You gotta have a crown. You know, they make them for children now. Used to, adults could wear them, but, you know, we can't get our fat heads in these things anymore. Yeah? Can you pass one for her? Yeah, let her have one, okay? All right, has everybody got one now? Okay, what do kings do besides wear crowns? Wear jewelry? What else do kings do? Y'all look this way. Okay, we made a deal. You can put the crowns together in just a minute. What else do kings do besides wear crowns and wear jewelry? They rule the world. They're in charge. What else do they do? What do kings do? How about ride big white horses and stuff? They earn money? Okay, they wear belts. They have jewels and they have like swords and stuff. What else do? They wear crowns. They rule. Somebody said that. They're kind of in charge, right? They're kind of in charge. Well, today is Christ the King Sunday. So if Jesus is a king, what would Jesus do as king? Have you ever thought about that? Have you heard the song where it says Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Yeah, that's a good song. But why is Jesus a king? Have you ever thought about that? No, haven't thought about that. Well, kings rule, right? But if Jesus is the King of Kings, what does that mean he does to other kings? He rules them. He rules the kings, right? That's exactly right. So if we think about Christ the King Sunday, we're actually saying that Jesus is the King of all kings. So he kind of rules all the kings, which is kind of a neat idea, isn't it? That's something worth shouting about, right? If we're celebrating. Can you say yes? Yes. Okay, so how are we going to do that? How do we celebrate the fact that Jesus is King of Kings? Three princesses? Do you know three princesses? Do they rule too? Do they rule? Okay. Well, we're going to celebrate the fact that Jesus is King of Kings. Can you do that with me? Here's how we're going to do it. There's another word in the scripture that I'm going to read this morning, and it's amen. You know what amen means? Amen. We say it a lot, don't we? Big Rod says it a lot. He says amen. What does it mean? It means surely, or I agree with that, or so be it. So, do you agree with the fact that Jesus is King of Kings? Yes. Sure. Okay, amen. Yeah, thank you, Bryson. Yeah, you agree with that. All right? So, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to shout out our praise. I'm going to say, Jesus is, and from Tiffany over here, y'all are going to shout out, King of Kings. Can you do that? Okay, all right. When I say Jesus is, and I point to you, you're going to shout out, King of Kings. And this group right here, from Tiffany over this way. Tiffany, I don't know what you're going to do. You may have to say with both of them. You're going to shout amen. Okay? I've heard y'all scream. You can do this. Okay? I've heard you scream when you're excited about something. So let's give it a trial run here. I'm going to say Jesus is... People, pay attention here. Let us all shout together. King of Kings. You ready? Jesus is...
King of Kings.
Okay. Jesus is... They're doing better than you. Jesus is
working.
Well, that's wonderful. But you know, I see the people on the front row here and they're a little envious. They're not getting to participate in this little celebration. And Big Raj is what he's stoked up, ready to do the amen part. So what I'm going to do now is we're going to celebrate. Jesus is King of Kings. So when I say Jesus is, all of you are going to shout. No, you're going to shout King of Kings. Jesus is, you're going to shout King of Kings, everybody right here. And then I'm going to point to the congregation and they're going to shout amen. All right? Let's do a trial run. Jesus is
King of Kings.
Amen. I think y'all had a beat. They're a little weak. We'll do it one more time. All right, you ready? Jesus is
here.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for the fact that you've provided to us a model of how Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's ruler of over all. And we thank you for that because we know he is a gracious king. He is a good king. And Father, we're thankful for the fact that he came to show us how to live, and that he now has returned to your side to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Get back to your seat.
Our scripture text this morning comes first from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 93. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located close by. Feel free to read along. From Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. And from the New Testament in John's Gospel, John chapter 18, we read a short passage beginning in verse 33 as we read about the King of Kings as he stands before Pilate and being sentenced before the crucifixion. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word.
Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we know that you are a loving God who cares deeply about everything that we experience. And Father, as we join together and join our hearts and our voices and our minds in praise and worship to you, and we know that there can be many distractions. And we know that what we've experienced this week, again, we can't go back and change any of that. But Father, we know that with your help, that we can accept the things that we cannot change. And Father, we know that in the course of this week, we've had church members and family members that have lost loved ones. Father, for them, we pray an extra bit of courage and grace today, to get through today and to see blessings in situations where maybe we're not seeing clearly. We pray that we would see the blessings that you've given us today. Father, be with those who are grieving. Father, give them comfort and strength and peace. Father, for those who have had bad news that they received today about children or about their own personal health, Father, we pray that you would be with them and allow them to know that you are big enough. You're big enough to handle their questions, even their anger and frustrations. But you're certainly big enough to handle their physical pain as well. Father, we just pray that you would touch them. And if physical healing is not to take place, that you would give them the spiritual healing of knowing that you are in control and that you don't make mistakes. We thank you for the gift of life that you've given each of us today. And we recognize it as a gift from you. Help us to embrace it fully, to understand that you have given us opportunities today to serve you and to encourage others. Help us to be faithful in both tasks. Father, as our young people are away, we pray that not only would you give them safety in their travel, but that you would give them clear hearts and clear minds to receive your word this morning as they worship together. Father, we pray for all those who are questioning and those who among that group who are trying to discover what it means to have a personal relationship with you. And even in this place this morning, we recognize there may be some. We pray that your Holy Spirit would speak clearly, and would be received with an open heart. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask all of these things.
Join me in prayer. Our gracious and loving, merciful God, we come to you with hearts of thanksgiving, because you are God. We ask that you help us to be present to this moment. It is all that we have, and it's where you will always speak to us. Help us to be present to the places that we're most afraid of, because it always feels empty. It always feels boring. It always feels like it's not enough. Help us to find some space within that we don't try to fill up with ideas or opinions. Help us to create inner space, because you always show yourself to us best just when we are hungry and empty. Keep us out of the way so that there is always enough room for you. And in that we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the name of your Son, Jesus.
Precious Lord, take my hand and lead me on, my Lord. help. Lord, help me to stand. For I am tired. And Lord, I am weak. And I am worn. Lord, I'm worn. And through the storm and through the night, lead me on through the night. Please take my hand, precious Lord, my hand.
During Christmas break, following my junior year at Wake Forest, I was in turmoil. I really wanted to do what God wanted me to do, but I really wished He'd show me what it was He wanted me to do. I was perfectly willing, but God, I need some information here. And so that Christmas, I spent a lot of time talking to people I respected, people whose counsel that I valued. But ultimately, it was kind of up to me and God to hash it out. So I remember walking out the back door of our house and going up the mountainside to the rock. And we have several of these on our property in Hendersonville, and they're reflection rocks. And that's where you'd go and kind of get your perspective back on life. And I went back up to the one up behind the house, and I sat there for a few minutes. And I saw all that was going on around me in terms of nature. And I thought, it's gorgeous, but I'm not getting any answers here. So I started walking, and I walked down the property line all the way to the bottom of the mountain, down Tumblebug Creek. Now, if you don't know what a tumblebug is, you need to look that one up. But Tumblebug Creek rolls along, and there's several springs on our property that feed down and feed this creek, so it begins to build up momentum. So at the point in our property line, it's probably at its fullest capacity in terms of water flow. So I sat there on the bank of Tumblebug Creek, and I looked around me. I heard the water rushing. I heard stuff in the underbrush, probably birds or rodents or something, you know, stirring around. And I heard the breeze above me in the hemlocks, just a gentle rustling. And I said, God, I need to know what it is. My friends seem to know what it is they're supposed to do in life. But I need to know that. We're getting kind of late in the game here. I'm second semester junior. And I'm going to sit here until you tell me what it is. Started getting dark. And you know what I'd heard from God? Not a thing. At least that's what I thought. So I thought, well, I know the mountain, but Mom and Dad are probably concerned. That was long before the day of cell phones. So I better head back to the house. And I started walking back up the property line, which was the shortest route back to the house. And as I was walking, I reflected on my arrogance as well as my anxiousness. And I thought, you know, maybe I did hear from God. I didn't think I had, but as I reflected on the beauty of nature and how much it reveals of God to us, the gentle rustling of the underbrush, the water, the breeze, how all of that is in symmetry. I thought maybe, just maybe. And as my mind is going there, all of a sudden, you know, I don't know how God speaks to you. He doesn't speak to me audibly, because He knows if He does, I'll be joining Him pretty shortly. But he doesn't speak to me audibly, but it was not a spoken word, more of a sensation, more of a visitation. And this is kind of what was in my mind. Like God was saying to me, Raymond Smith, who in the world do you think you are? You want to know God's will for your life, but I've been telling you almost every day of your life what God's will is through your parents, through your pastors, through your Sunday school teachers like Miss Ima Jean Crawford, through your training union teachers like Miss Eddie. I've been telling you every day of your life what God's will for your life is. And here it is. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for you. Follow Him all the days of your life. He owes you no explanation. However, He loves you beyond anything that you will ever experience. And even as that is a part of what my thinking process was, I also reflected on the fact that those times when I felt the most in tune with what God wanted from me was those times when I was pursuing a religion major. So I thought, okay, God, if that's it, I'll go back. I went back in January and stood in those long lines up in Rinalda Hall waiting to sign up for a course. Yeah, we signed the little paper till it got full and then you went to another course. And I signed up for a curriculum very rich in religion courses. And one of those classes was a class called Visions of the End, Apocalyptic Literature. Dr. Fred Horton taught that class. And on the first day of class, I went to class, and the first passage of Scripture that we read was Revelation chapter 1. And that happens to be our lectionary text today. For Christ of Kings Sunday. So I want to read it to you. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version because I just happen to like the language of this particular translation with these verses. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 4b. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of kings on earth, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom, priest to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The Revelation is a book in which the risen Christ is manifest in kingdom glory. And although it's true He owes us no explanation, the beginning of this apocalyptic disclosure, from the very beginning where John is addressing the churches that he's writing to, we're prepared to look for the King. The King of Kings, the one who is going to be revealed in glory. And the text that I've just read sets before us kind of a doxology. We sang the doxology a few moments ago, but this is like a doxology tribute to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it's organized, at least in my mind, in four stanzas. There's four things going on here. First, in beginning in verse 4 again, it's stanza 1 is praise to the eternal triune God. Three gods in one, three in one, the triune God. Again, in verse 4b, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. The passage actually begins like a letter. It begins like a letter with grace and peace being extended from the eternal sovereign God. He's described in this passage as occupying a throne. The role of God the Father. And before His throne we see that there are seven spirits, which is a reference to the Holy Spirit. And at His right hand is the Son. Thus the triune God, God the Father, Spirit, and Son. Now the Father is described in a New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament covenant name, Yahweh. His covenant name signifies his eternal being. In other words, the great I am. I am. Here he's described as the God who was, who is, and is to come. The God of the present, the past, and the future. And before him, it says there are seven spirits, which is an apocalyptic reference to the third member of the Godhead, which is the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, why seven? Well, the number seven there we know is perfection. It indicates perfection and also his many gifts and grace. And we had a discussion this morning about numbers. You know, the number three, the triune God, is perfection, completeness. But also the number seven we know is a perfect number. And why is that? Well, in the ancient mindset, they were concerned about the presence of God. And so if you looked at the perfect presence of God, it encompasses seven areas. North, south, east, west, up, down, and where you happen to be. So God is perfect. God is ever present. And the Holy Spirit is perfect. And the Holy Spirit's gifts and graces are many. Then it talks about Jesus, the Son, identified in this scene and characterized as a faithful witness. It says that the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. So his faithful witness was evidenced in his incarnation. If you go back and read the Gospel of John, John talks about the fact that the Word became flesh, became incarnate, and dwelt with us. Why is that? God is showing, he's peeling back and showing us who he is. Through the person of Jesus Christ, God is revealing himself with love to us, so we can know him better. Now, it goes on to say he's the firstborn of the dead. And in that, he was gloriously raised from the dead. Now, Lazarus, you'll recall, was raised from the dead in John chapter 11. But the distinction here, because he is the firstborn of the dead, he is the first one to be raised, never to die again. And Paul emphasizes that in 1 Corinthians 15. And as the resurrected firstborn, he assumes the rights, prerogatives, first place in the kingdom. That's the Son. In addition to that, Jesus, the anointed one, is characterized as the ruler of the kings of the earth. So he is King of Kings. He's King of Kings. Revelation 14, 17 and Revelation 19, 16 reiterate that. As anticipated in the Psalms, if you go back and read Psalm 89, if you go back and read the prophecies of the Old Testament, Jesus is the heir to the throne of David. We're getting ready. Next Sunday, we start Advent. And you'll hear this a lot. You'll hear about the prophecies, how Jesus was the fulfillment, the final and fulfillment of God's promises to David of a perpetual dynasty. Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And as sovereign ruler over all of the earth's kings, Jesus is clearly supreme. Praise to the eternal triune God, God the Father, the Spirit, and the Son. The second stanza is praise to the eternal Son. That picks up in verse 5 again. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The reflection on the glory of the Son is extended further in kind of an outburst of praise by John, talking about his redemptive work, the redemptive work of the Son. And the realities about this praise are threefold. There you go, magic number again. Imagine that. The realities are threefold. First of all, his love is named. You know, it was expressed in earthly ministry. John talks about the fact that the work of Jesus was motivated by his love. And ultimately, the work that he did on the cross was motivated by his love. And beyond the work of the past, though, John notes that his love is ongoing. It's something that we can count on. His love is with us in the present, That is an assurance and a hope and a confidence that as we think about Thanksgiving, is certainly something to be thankful for. Amen? It really is. His love is named. Secondly, it talks about His love has released us. Has freed us from our sins by His blood. His blood has released us. An act of love on the cross has released us. Through His atoning death, He has released us from the bondage that sin would have over us were it not for His love. Again, that should fill us with thanksgiving. And the third part of this is that it goes on to talk about He has made us a kingdom. Made us a kingdom. Priests to His God and Father. He's made us a kingdom. If you took the book of Revelation out of the Bible, and believe it or not, if you go back and read early church father Augustine, go back and read. He kind of wished it wasn't in the Bible. Martin Luther kind of wished it wasn't in the Bible. And I'll tell you why. There's so much confusion, so much misinterpretation about the Revelation. But it is here. It is here. And we are not citizens purely of this world, as some would argue. If you take Revelation out, we might be tempted to think that the purpose of the church was just to train good people to serve the kingdom wherever it was they lived. But that's not our calling. Our calling is to be a member of His kingdom. And we're privileged to be subjects of a higher government, if you will. The mighty King. And we are heirs to that throne. You know, as priests, we're privileged to be engaged. Engaged in the service of God and offer praise and thanksgiving and everything that's extended through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. So we're part of a kingdom. We're priests to God. And John kind of breaks out, after he talks about that, he breaks out into doxology, you know, kind of a divine blessing, if you will. And he says, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, this word, this expression, it kind of comes out here, but it's also expressed in later forms in Revelation. And here's the word. The word is dominion. Now, what does that word mean? I can tell you this. The English Standard Version uses dominion. The New American Standard uses dominion. The Revised Standard uses dominion. King James translates it dominion. And I think that's the proper translation. Some translations say power. Power doesn't quite get it. It doesn't cover what John is trying to say here. Dominion is a term that came from the feudal system. Okay, where there was a kingdom set up and the king had dominion. It wasn't just power, it was total control, total ownership. Do you get a sense for what's going on? I don't know how to describe it any more than that, but just total control and ownership of people and place. Dominion. That's what Jesus has. The third stanza is praise to the coming King. In verse 7, behold, He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. Even so, amen. You see, we anticipate the day in which the heavenly King is going to come back to earth. Remember, in Acts chapter 1, as Jesus was ascending into glory, the disciples were informed of this. In chapter 1, verse 11 of Acts, this Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you've watched Him go into heaven. That's how He'll come back. So here John is drawing from prophecy in the book of Daniel. In the book of Daniel in chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall never pass away. And his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Jesus himself, in his Olivet Discourse, we see it in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 verse 30, Jesus said this about himself, "Then there will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And as he is before Caiaphas, the high priest, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 64, he reiterates, he says, Jesus said to him, 'You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" His coming will be visible to all, particularly to those who pierced him. And looking at him, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Now, we're not told why all of us will mourn. Perhaps one of two reasons. Perhaps because the conviction of sin will lead us to mourn. Perhaps the fact that the realization that it was our sin that put Jesus on the cross. And again, prophetic precedent is used to ground this claim, because Zechariah foretold both the looking and the mourning before the piercing that would be the crucifixion in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. So all of this wrapped up, although at his first coming, he was the rejected Messiah, at his second coming, he will be received for who he truly is. Amen? That's the praise to the coming King. And the fourth stanza of our doxology is praise to the all in all. Verse 8. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." The doxology ends with a summative statement of the all-encompassing majesty of the Lord God. He declares himself the Alpha and Omega. This actually occurs four other times in the Revelation. And if you look at that, the Alpha and Omega, I know you're aware, the Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. The Omega is the last letter. It's kind of like a modern English equivalent would be, man, he's A to Z. He's the whole package. He is complete. He is unique. He is the one true living God. And the sense of this expression is also found in the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 44:6, where Isaiah, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God besides me." People understand this. In a world of political correctness, there is only one true God. In a world that would lead you to believe that the claims of all gods are equal and true, there is only one true God. Furthermore, the Lord reiterates that which John has already declared in verse 4, that he is the eternally existent one, the great I am, the Lord of all time, past, present, future. And to this description, he adds one final note. Look at the end of verse 8. The Almighty. Little quiz for you. Get bonus points, maybe some Pastor Pal bucks. Last week I told you how many times in Scripture the word Almighty is used. Do you remember what that number is? Don't be bashful. Choir, bail me out. 345. You did say 345, right? Yeah. That's correct. 345. 345 times the word Almighty occurs in Scripture. And every single time, it refers to God. No one else. Six additional times in Revelation, God is declared the Almighty, leading to the emphasis on the fact that his dominion, the ability by which he reigns through time and eternity, his dominion. Earthly sovereigns may have a little blip on the screen of time, but none compares to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all of this is his dominion. And if you ask me, that is the best reason to be thankful today, tomorrow, this Thursday, and forever. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, all of which reveal more and more about who you are and what you desire for us. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've put a plan in place for each of us to discover. But we thank you more than that, that there is an eternal plan that you provided Jesus Christ to reveal yourself to us and provide a way that we can be reconciled to you. And it's in his name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We've talked about him being the King of Kings, but you don't have a personal relationship with him. I'd be glad. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I'm going to be here at the front. I'd be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ, how you can have that personal relationship with him. If you're here this morning, maybe you're not completely plugged in. Maybe you're struggling a little bit and you want to discover God's path for you. Our altar will be open here. You can certainly pray where you are, but that's God's invitation to fully discover who he is as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in your life and apply that. If you're here this morning and maybe you want to be a part of this congregation, it's a wonderful fellowship. It's a wonderful fellowship, right? Right, choir? They got an amen. Yes. All right, it's a wonderful fellowship. We'd be glad to include you in that. There's a lot of ways we include members and be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to stand as we sing together now. Pray with me. Dear Father, as we go now, help us to go in peace. Help us to go with the knowledge and understanding that you are in control, that your kingdom is eternal. Father, with that confidence, we can approach tomorrow, the day after, weeks to come, knowing that you love us and have provided a way. We praise you. We glorify you for who you are. We thank you for all that you do for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.